Proverbs chapter 30 tonight, please, for the Bible reading. Proverbs chapter 30. Remember, of course, that there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, so that's a chapter for every day of the month. If you want to be a wise person, read a chapter of Proverbs every day. But we're coming tonight to chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And I want us just to read a few verses toward the end of the chapter. It's verse 24, Proverbs chapter 30, and it's verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in kings' palaces. Amen. We know the Lord will bless these verses to your hearts this evening. You know, God has two books in which he reveals himself. The first book is this one that we've read from tonight, and John and Bobby and Carol have referred to tonight. This is, of course, the Word of God, God's book, the Bible. This is the first book that God reveals himself through. But you know, God has another book. You know what it's called? Nature. Creation. God reveals himself not only in his word, but in his work. His work. He reveals himself in creation. And you know, any wise Christian will read the book of nature. You will learn from creation. The Bible tells us to look up. Remember Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So what's it saying? Look up. Look up into the sky during the day, during the night, and it declares the glory of God. It's just as if the Lord is saying, I dare anyone to say that there's no God after having looked up into the sky. I dare anyone to be an atheist after considering the sky above. I think it was Abraham Lincoln, the American president, who said, I could believe that people would be atheists by looking around at what's happening in the world, but I cannot believe that any man could be an atheist by looking up into the night sky. You know, and it's true. Yes, of course, whenever you think about the evil in the world today, the bloodshed, the cruelty of man, man's inhumanity to man, yes, you'd be tempted to say, is there a God? But no, whenever you look up to the sky, you see the stars. Last night, did you hear it on the news? The Northern Lights, they call it, the Aurora Borealis, the lights in the sky. It's like God giving the earth a treat. The people on the earth a treat. It's like a light show in the sky. My, whenever you look up, surely you have to say there is a God. And I know tonight, as members of this church, that of course you do believe in God and you admire his creation. So the Bible tells us, look up. But tonight, for a short time in our annual meeting, I want us to look down. Look down. Because the Bible tells us not only to look up, it tells us to look down. We're going to look down tonight at some very little creatures. Some tiny creatures that are mentioned here in the book of Proverbs. You notice what it tells us there in verse 24. Proverbs 30, verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. There are many people who despise little things. Well, the Lord doesn't. Small things. Little things are to be considered. We're to pay attention to little things. Some people, of course, they always want the big things. And there's some people, I know of preachers who wouldn't preach unless it's a big congregation. Sometimes I hear people say, "My, there was a great crowd at that service. My, I was greatly blessed." Sometimes I wonder, was it the crowd that blessed them? Was it the fact that there was a big number there? Is that why they were blessed? Oh, that's not the kind of blessing we want. We want the blessing from the Lord. Yes, numbers are have their place. We want as many people as possible to hear the word of God, but numbers aren't everything. But we're to focus on the little things. The Lord tells us here to focus on the small things. And he starts to tell us about little things here in Proverbs chapter 30. He starts off with the ants. Now the Lord could have talked to us about elephants, big things, but he didn't. He says, look down. It's just as if the Lord is saying here, get your microscope out. Get your microscope out and consider the ant. You remember Proverbs chapter 6? Go to the ant, consider her ways. It's just as if the Lord is saying, now you believers in new buildings, you get your microscope out, get your magnifying glass out, and go down to the wee ant. And learn from the little ant. My, we can learn so many things from the ant. You know, the ants are very weak. We read in verse 25 there, the ants are a people not strong. The ants are a people not strong. Individual ants are very weak. But you see, when they stick together, then they're strong. And John mentioned about teamwork. I think Bobby referred to it too. Teamwork. That's the secret of the ant's success. Ants work together. The ants know that as individuals they're weak, but they stick together, they work together, and by working together they get the job done. I want to thank you members throughout 2014 for being good ants. You've been working together very well. You've been a good team. Left to ourselves as individuals, we're weak. See this speaker here tonight? Left to himself, he's very weak. See you as an individual member, left to yourself, you're very weak. We need each other. And that's why it's good to have an AGM. That's why it's good to have an annual meeting. So that we can come together and encourage each other and rejoice in what the Lord has done. May we continue to be good ants. May the Lord help us throughout this year ahead, throughout the remainder of 2015, to be like the ants, to focus on teamwork. He wants us to be a team. You know, ants work without force. They work without force. The little ants have got what scientists call instinct. They've got an instinct within them that just tells them just to get on with it. Just work. No other ant has to come along and go to another ant and give them a bit of a prod or a bit of a poke. Now, come on, do a bit of work. The ants just get on with it. The ants don't need to be forced to do their work. It's always good when a believer doesn't have to be forced to serve the Lord, isn't it? And of course, none of us should need to be forced to serve the Lord. C.T. Studd, that great cricketer, man, he had the cricketing world at his feet. But what did he say? If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And he dropped his cricket bat and his cricket ball, and he left it all to go and serve the Lord as a missionary. My, whenever we think of all that our Saviour has done for us, bleeding and dying such a cruel death, rising again from the dead, going back to glory, interceding for us, praying for us as individuals and as a church, my, when we consider his wonderful work for us, how can we not serve him? I remember, I don't know whether you've sung this chorus or you can remember it. I'm sure some of you remember it. I will serve thee, because I have to. Is that it? Oh, sorry, I got the words wrong. I will serve thee because I love thee. Isn't that why you're here tonight? Because you love the Lord. Oh, I know that we often say, Lord, I wish I loved you more. I wish my love for you was more consistent. But Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. And out of gratitude, I'm going to do what I can. I can't do everything. And Lord, you don't expect me to do everything. Though other people might expect me to do everything. But Lord, I'm going to do by your grace what I can do. Yeah, the ants don't need to be forced. It's just inbuilt instinct. They just get on with it. They not only work without force, but they work without feel. They work without feel. What do I mean? Well, last Friday, what happened in our country? There was a strike, wasn't there? Ants don't go on strike. Ants just keep working all the time. My, there's a lesson for us to keep serving the Lord without feel. Through thick and thin. Whenever you're having a good day or you're having a bad day, during your ups and downs, when there's clouds in the sky or whether it's a clear sky and the sun's beaming down, whatever your circumstances are, just keep working for the Lord without fail. Don't go on strike. Please don't go on strike. The church needs all the members to be at their post serving the Lord. We need to be like the ants and serve the Lord without fail. But you know, Solomon not only mentions the little ants, but he goes on to speak about the little conies. Conies, I didn't say ponies now. Not ponies. Conies, see. He speaks about this little creature called the coney. The coney's a bit like a rabbit. It's a wee bit like a rabbit. It doesn't really have a tail. It's got a round back. It's got short, stumpy legs. But you see, the coney makes its home in the rock. Notice what it says, verse 26. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. In the Hebrew, the word rocks is rock. There's no S in the Hebrew. It's single. A rock. So what it's saying is that the coney makes its home in the rock. God has made the little creature in such a way that that the soles of its feet are made so that they're good at clinging and sticking to the rock. God has made that little creature with special nails in its feet, special little claws that are ideal for grasping and clinging onto the rock. Well, thank God, friends, we have a rock to cling to. You remember a few weeks back on the Sunday evening, the Lord is my rock. We have a rock. His name is Jesus. And what a joy, what a pleasure it is to be standing on the rock. We're just like the conies. Yeah, we're feeble. You better believe it. I'm feeble, you're feeble, the church is feeble, but you see what makes the difference is that we're on the rock. And the forces of hell can beat against the church, but we're not going to be moved. The church of Jesus Christ shall not be moved. You know that song that people sometimes sing, what some of these football teams chanted? We shall not be moved. Well, as believers, we can sing that song too, because we're on the rock. Did you know that conies are social creatures? They're very sociable creatures. In other words, they like to meet together. I'm not an expert on it, but I remember reading this about the little coney. They like to meet together. Now, wait for it. In small groups. Small groups. I wonder, do you ever get discouraged because sometimes our meetings are small groups? Do you ever get discouraged on a Thursday night because maybe there's not too many at the prayer meeting. Do you ever get discouraged on a Sunday? Maybe not too many at the service. Well, don't be discouraged. What does it matter who's there or who's not there as long as the Lord's there? And you know, we're just like the little conies. We're just like that little creature. And now and again, those little creatures will come together for a small group meeting, for a small get-together, a small gathering. Don't be discouraged. Don't get downhearted if people despise you because, oh, you go to a small church. You know the old saying, good things come in small packages? Well, I'm glad that's true of this church. We have spent 7 blessed years here. It'll be 7 years next month. And I thank God for the joy, the pleasure of being here. I can honestly say they're the best 7 years of my life. And I appreciate all the support. I know Pauline does too. She appreciates the support and the encouragement that you've given to us. My, don't be discouraged. We're spiritual conies. We're on the rock. And we're meeting together in our small group tonight. And the Lord is with us. And the Psalm 46 says, the Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let me move on tonight. Solomon here, he speaks about the locusts. The locusts. Locusts start off as grasshoppers. Some grasshoppers stay the same their whole lives. They never change. Others go through a miraculous transformation. I suppose you'd say a metamorphosis. Don't be worried about that big word. It just means a change of form. You know, that reminds me that there are people in this world who just stay the same all their lives. And they come into this world as sinners and they go out of it as sinners. They're never born again. But thank God for the people who are born again during their life. And a great change takes place. And it's just like the grasshopper, because the grasshopper turns into a locust. How it happens is the grasshopper, he finds a tree. He goes to the tree. Whenever you were saved, you went to the tree, didn't you? Who bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And then the little grasshopper not only goes to the tree, but it hangs upside down. And it breaks free from its body. And then it pumps blood into its wings. Where would the church be without the blood of the Lamb? Isn't that the central message of the church? Where would we be as individuals tonight if it wasn't for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Sure, it's the very lifeblood of our souls. It's the very lifeblood of the church. And then that little creature, after it has found a tree and hung upside down for a while and it's come out of its body, and then it pumps blood through its wings, then it leaves itself, listen, at the disposal of the wind. It just gets carried away with the wind and flies on the wind. We need to be blown by the wind of the Spirit as Christians. We need to be at the disposal of the heavenly wind. The Bible tells us, and we spoke about it not so long ago, in John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that's born of the Spirit. Isn't it good to be born again? And of course we have a policy, and I believe it's scriptural and right, that no one can become a member of the church unless they're born again. Sure, if you let people in who are not born again, it's not when the problems start. There's some people born again, some people not born again. I'm sure there's churches in our country and they're torn apart because there's people pulling in two different directions. Thank God for a born again only policy. And friends, we need to be controlled by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in me. And wait for it. The Holy Spirit who lives in you will not fight with the Holy Spirit who lives in me. You get that? There's trouble in churches, infighting, divisions. There's an issue, there's something wrong. Whenever two people are controlled by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, the differences will disappear. I'm not saying there's going to be no disagreements, so that would be, as Stephen Nolan talks about, that would be la la land. There's always going to be differences and disagreements, but you see, when you're filled with the Spirit, you agree to disagree, don't you? And the chances are, when you're filled with the Spirit, you back down. Let the other person have their way. And I don't want to start a row. Yeah, these little creatures start off as grasshoppers, but then the miraculous change takes place and they end up as locusts. Oh, may the Lord make us like the locusts, controlled by the Spirit. Then we'll be a blessing to the church. Okay, Solomon finishes with the spiders. The spiders there in verse 28. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. I don't know whether you're afraid of spiders. Some people are just afraid of spiders and they would run a mile if they saw spiders. Many a time, you know, in the manse, I come down, maybe you come down for a drink of water at night time or something. Turn the light on. What's in the middle of the floor? A lovely big spider. I heard somebody saying recently that they're coming in with the fruit that's been imported from other countries. And these giant spiders are being brought in with the fruit. I don't know. But all I know is that the Bible talks about the spider and there's lessons we can learn from this little creature. It says there that the spider taketh hold with her hands. Isn't that what you did as a believer the day you were saved? You took hold of God's salvation, didn't you? What happened when you were saved? What did you have to do to take hold of God's salvation? You had to let go of everything else, didn't you? That's what you have to do to be saved, you know. You've got to let go of everything else. Everything else that you're clinging to and hoping that will get you into heaven, you just got to let go of it. It's a wee bit like, you know, let's say there's a little child and you offer the little one a sweet. But they've got their hands full of things. Maybe their arms are and their hands are full of sweets. Well, if they're to get your sweet or whatever it is that you're giving to them, well, they've got to let go of what's in their hands before they can get that other thing. You've got to come to the Lord empty-handed and take His wonderful salvation. You've got to come to Him empty-handed and receive Christ. And thank God, each one of you have done that. And you've come into membership and you're a blessing to this church. You are, each one of you. I say that earnestly, sincerely tonight. Maybe you've come in tonight and you say, well, yeah, I'm a member, but you're what use am I apart from that? Well, don't think like that. Because you have your part in this church. And you have your ministry and you have your talent. Oh, thank God for every member, for every believer, for everyone who has taken, like the spider, taken hold of God's salvation. But then it tells us that the spider is in king's palaces. In the original Hebrew, again, it's the singular. So it's the king's palace. The king's palace. Spiders do get into king's palaces. I'm sure there's spiders in Buckingham Palace, you know. But you know, those spiders are intruders, aren't they? Her Majesty the Queen didn't invite the spiders in. But you know, one day, whenever we make it to the king's palace, we'll not be an intruder. We'll be there by special invitation. We'll be there because, wait for it, we're in Christ. We're in Christ. What a day that will be whenever we go to the king's palace. You know, there's a lovely hymn that we sing, and it speaks about the palace, doesn't it? 403. We are never, never weary of the grand old song. Glory to God, hallelujah. We can sing it loud as ever with our faith more strong. Glory to God, hallelujah. Listen to it. Oh, the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing, for the way is growing bright and our souls are on the wing. We are going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God, hallelujah. What a day that'll be when all the wee spiders from new buildings enter into the King's palace.